A welcome to all this morning as we come together and celebrate Christ the King Sunday. This morning we're going to get a glimpse at what the end is like, at what it is when Christ our King will come back, as He comes back to separate. We don't talk about this a lot, because a lot of times it's used to scare people, and that's really not what this is for. It really should bring us comfort. And the thing that He is going to use sometimes seems like we earn then our ability to go to heaven and to be the sheep instead of the goats. But it is not because of this. It is because of our faith that we will do the things that He says we do during that separation. Because as we do not reject the calling of the Holy Spirit through His Word, we are changed and we become His children, and He leads and guides our actions. And it is through this calling, through Jesus' death and resurrection, that I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 through 36. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the hearing of the Gospel. Reading in Jesus' name. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. Before Him shall gather all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave Me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took Me in. Naked, and ye clothed Me. I was sick, and ye visited Me. I was in prison, and ye came unto Me. Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we Thee hungered and fed Thee, or thirsty and gave Thee drink? When saw Thee as a stranger and took Thee in, or naked and clothed Thee? Or when saw we Thee sick or imprisoned and came unto Thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it to one of the least of these My brethren, ye have done it unto Me. Then shall He say also to them on the left hand, Depart from Me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave Me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took Me not in. Naked, and ye clothed Me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited Me not. Then shall they also answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw Thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto Thee? Then shall He answer, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to the one the least of these, ye did it not to Me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Amen. Please be seated. Now you can look at this and use this in one of two ways. You can use these words and scare people. I do not believe that this was what Jesus was doing here. Jesus is really telling throughout this whole 25th chapter of Matthew what it's going to be like on His return. And so He's really just explaining to his followers what it's going to be all about. And he comes up, and it starts out, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. So first of all, what we are going to see is that Jesus Christ himself will be crowned. He will not come as he appears to them right now. Right now, he appears to them as a simple carpenter's son who has been teaching them and giving them words. And yes, he's shown them miracles and done all kinds of things, but he looks a lot like we do. Very simple and humble in his appearance. And as a matter of fact, in 2 days, he's going to look even more humble. For he will be beaten. He will be ridiculed. And he will be nailed to a cross. All this time during chapter 25, Jesus knew that this was going to happen. Because this is what happens at the beginning of chapter 26. When Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said to the disciples, "Know you that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered to be crucified." Jesus, who now describes the glory of what his throne is going to be like at the end in his second coming, is still to face the shame and the humiliation of taking our sin upon him. But he is telling them about something greater that is going to happen when he reappears. Something absolutely quite glorious. Before him, verse 32, will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people as one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. That's very interesting, because now you have a scene where all people will be there. We kind of think in this term, in many cases, that while Jesus came for the Christian. And this is one of those places where you find out that he will raise everyone from the dead. All people. And there will be a separation. And the separation will come on whether you believe that act he's going to follow through with in 2 days, where he goes to the cross and takes the sin of the world upon him, that includes your and my sin, and whether you believe that fact, that you are now forgiven for what because of what he has done, or do you reject it and make a mockery of it? You see, because it's really faith in that act that changes us, that makes us to be able to do the things that he is calling us to do. In verse 33, he says, "And he will place the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left." Now, in the ancient world, this was very important, because those who would be on the right hand side would be in the place of honor. If you're talking about a king and his court, it's those who are on the right-hand side of the king, or of the right-hand side of the table from the king, that are honored guests. They are the ones who will be held up. And the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And this is where you understand that God knew mankind. He knew from the beginning who we were. He knew from the beginning that Adam would fall. He knew from the beginning that we would all be sinners. And yet, he loves us. He could have took his plan and went, "Well, I got this plan, this blueprint." Kind of like we make plans all the time for buildings and those type of things and go, "Well, no, after further examination, this thing's going to fall in on itself. Let's scrap the plan and make a new plan." But God loved us so much that he had no intention of scrapping the plan. Instead, he decided to overcome the weakness in his plan. And the weakness wasn't him, it was us. What we failed to do, what Adam failed to do, which was follow his commands, he takes care of for us by sending his son. And the fact of the matter is that what matters now is that we believe that that is true for us. That we now hang on to that. And in doing so, he starts to lead and guide us. He starts, by the power of his Spirit and through his word, to do the things in us that he wants us to do. We are not saved by our actions. We are saved rather because we've believed. And it is not by our actions that we see or that we earn salvation, but rather because we have salvation, we do the things we are supposed to do. And that's what he gets on to say. He says this, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me." Now he's talking about taking care of people's basic needs. Somebody who's hungry, you make sure that they or made sure that they had food. Thirsty, you gave water. A stranger, welcoming. Naked, and you made sure I had clothes. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Now, all these are good and wonderful things. But if we just do these things and say, well, there, now for sure I'm going to heaven. Every time I see somebody that's hungry, I make sure I give them food. Every time that I see somebody who's thirsty, I'll get them some water. And if I see a stranger walk through our door, I'll welcome him and say hi. And if I know that somebody doesn't have enough clothing, we'll make sure that they get enough clothing. And when they're sick, I'll go see them in the hospital. Or if I know somebody in prison, I'll make sure that I go there and see them in prison. Well, now I know. Now I must be going to heaven. That isn't what this is for. Those are all good, wonderful, and noble things to do. But you do them not in order to earn your way to heaven. You do this because you are blessed by the Father, and that you are a believer, and that you are a Christian. And because you are, you will do these things. And a lot of times you won't even know when. And that's the cool part about this text to me. When you really understand what's happening here, you have all these people who have been separated into the kingdom of onto his right hand side, and have now inherited the kingdom that has been promised. And they're going, "Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we feed you? Or thirsty, when did you give a drink? And when did you see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" See, this is the thing. They don't even know. They can't even figure it out, because it wasn't done as a selfish act to make them feel good or look good. A lot of times what we do in this world, unfortunately, we do for selfish reasons. We may go visit, we may do all the things in that list. But for what reason? In many cases, it's to make us feel good or look good so people will see. Well, yeah, see what they did over there? That's not our motivation. Because that's just as selfish as anyone else. The reason that we do things is because we are children of God, because we are blessed of the Heavenly Father, and we are called to do them by the power of the Holy Spirit and through the Word. And so we do them. And the king answers, "Truly I say to you, as you did to one of the least of these my brethren, you did to me." And this is the point. We made the lowliest, and we should make the lowliest people more important than ourselves. In the most cases, we as human beings want to be the top, the lead, the head dog. What Jesus is telling us here is to recognize the lowliest person, the person who struggles the most, and to lift them up and to make sure that they're taken care of. And that's really what he's talking about here. He's dealing with who we are on the inside, not just the outward appearances. Will the outward appearances be there if we're believers? Absolutely. But just because of the outward appearance also doesn't make it, or just because we try to fulfill those things, it's not like a new law. You know, Paul, throughout his life, before he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, says he fulfilled the law. As a Pharisee, perfect. And so he did all those things. He followed all those little rules. And he considered them to be but dung. It's not that important in comparison to knowing Jesus Christ's death and resurrection personally. In comparing to knowing who He is. Because that is the thing that changes us from the inside out. It no longer makes us the most important. It makes the other more important than us. And then you get the other side. And he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you cursed, and into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." It's very interesting because God did not prepare and has not prepared hell for human beings. The absolute last thing in the world he wants to do is to have one of us go there. Do we really understand that? God prepared that. That is prepared for the devil and his angels, not for human beings. God wants and is calling to every person in this world, "Come to me. Trust in what I have done for you. Believe in my Son, Jesus Christ." This is the thing. Because if you don't believe, what happens is you ignore everything else. "For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not come to me. Naked and you did not clothe me. And in sick and in prison and you did not visit me." And you get the question then, "Well, Lord, when did we see you thirsty or hungry or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? I don't remember any of that. Certainly if I would have seen somebody above me in station who needed my help, I'd have helped. Especially if it would have helped me get ahead." But see, then it's not a selfless act. Then it becomes a selfish act. When we do for others out of motivation to make ourselves look good, we're hypocrites. That's why Jesus says when we're giving to the poor, that don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. We don't do these things so that everybody can see us. That's not the point. We do them because that's what we're called to do. We do them because that's who we are. We cannot help ourselves. God has now empowered us to do what He has called us to do and be who He has called us to be. You can fight God. Trust me. As a believer, I tried for many years. I'm not doing that. No way I'm doing that. I'm not changing. God laughs at you because He's going to use you. If you haven't rejected Him and you believe what God has done through His Son, Jesus Christ, He's going to put you where He wants you to be, whether you like it or not. He's God. And this is the thing. It is when you do not have faith that all this stuff becomes nothing. God has a love for each and every one of us that is absolutely unbelievable. We can't even really comprehend it. The last thing He wants is for one of us to be thrown into eternal damnation. He has no desire to do that. Hence, He sent His Son. He demonstrated His love for us, then while we were yet sinners, He sent His Son to die for us. If He sent His Son to die for us, do you think He wants to punish us? He sent His Son to take on that sacrifice. Will there be a separation? Yeah. And it's a sad, sad thing to think that anybody would have to face separation from God. Because even today, all people live in His grace. All people live in the day of grace. Today is the day to believe. Today is the day to believe that Jesus Christ indeed died for your sins and was raised to give you new life. That you never have to worry about this last day. When Jesus Christ comes as King, to us it will be one of the greatest, it will be the greatest experience of our lives. That we now live face to face with our Lord and Savior. That we now know the fullness of God's promise of His kingdom for us. And this is what this text is all about. It's not here to scare you. It's here to tell you, believe. Have faith in Me so that when this day comes and you've seen all the crud that I've gone through, when you've seen My beatings, my crucifixion, my death, that you will also see the end, the perfect world that you have inherited because you believe in the promise given through Jesus Christ, our Savior and our King. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You giving You thanks. Even today as we celebrate Christ the King Sunday, as we look forward to the time of Advent, the time when we look forward to Your second coming. That, Father, it would be with a sense of anticipation. That, Father, we would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that You have taken care of all that separates us from You. That You have sent Your Son and that He came for each and every one of us. Father, that we would cling to that we would know that, and that we would know beyond a shadow of a doubt, that You continue to lead and to guide us into the places that You would have us minister. Father, we ask that You would be with those who would want to reject that grace and that knowledge. That You would put Your hands around them, that You would put people around them to love them, to tell them about Your Son. And Father, that their hearts would be softened, that they would come to know You and Your love for them. Father, we know that You want no one to perish, and we pray for those who may, that You would work by the power of Your Holy Spirit through each and every one of us, through each and every believer throughout this world, that we would, person to person, spread the message of your gospel so that no one would perish and everyone would have eternal life. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We will conclude our service this morning.